2 Corinthians chapter 2, let's begin reading at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. But I determined this within myself, that I would not come again to you in sorrow. For if I make you sorrowful, then who is he who makes me glad, but the one who is made sorrowful by me? And I wrote this very thing to you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow over those from whom I ought to have joy. Having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent. Not to be too severe. This punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man. Verse 7. So that, on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end I also wrote, that it might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. And verse 11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Please pray with me. Oh, Lord, we thank you that today Satan and his tactics, these devices, they're going to be unmasked. So, Lord, we ask for your grace here. We ask for your protection. Send your angels to surround us. Be here with us, God. This is perhaps for some people here, maybe for many of us, the very issue, the thing that's causing us, that's hindering our growth. And you love us. You forgave us so many thousands of sins. Help us to have grace, Lord, for others. But we can't do this in our strength. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, can you send the Spirit that we might be comforted, that we might be helped, that we would receive your supernatural power? We want to follow you, follow your ways. We want to receive your grace and give grace. But we need help. Please help us, God. Pour out your Spirit from heaven above. Heal our hearts here, God. Renew our minds. Strengthen us by your grace. For we ask and pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. All right, you guys could have a seat if you would. So today, again, we're going to start a mini-series, so to speak, on the topic of forgiveness. Now, quick recap. We're picking up here after chapter 1. Chapter 1, God's telling us through Paul's pen that God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. That he's going to comfort you through your trials. Why? So that you could be of comfort to someone else. Make sense, right? You guys got that? And we also looked at the end of chapter 1, we need to trust in God, even for these processes. These are heart-healing moments. So now we pick up in chapter 2, after learning these things, and Paul is going to tell us, not just them, a way that they can be used by God to comfort others. So it's nothing like learning this truth. Chapter 1, trusting God. Chapter 2, applying this truth. Sometimes the application is tough, though, right? You're probably like me. You like to receive God's forgiveness. You want to receive his grace. Anybody like that? Oh, I love his grace. Just saying grace makes you smile. Oh, I love your grace. I love your love, your joy, your peace. And he says, great, give that out to someone else. You're like, ugh, I'm hyperventilating now. What? I need to give your grace. So he wants to help you and me to grow. So after telling you how God's going to comfort you, why he's going to comfort you, he's going to say, I'll give you an example now. This is what you need to do in your relationships. So he's speaking to the church. However, this is a huge, huge principle that applies to your life and all the relationships here as well as in your life. So chapter 2, we learn here now, and I'm just going to spit it to you straight here. One of the things you need to learn, if not the first thing right here and now today, and if you get nothing, out of this, but you get this. This is okay. Satan uses unforgiveness. Satan will use unforgiveness. So Satan will use unforgiveness in your life. He uses it in all your friendships, in all your relationships with your family and your marriages. He uses it in the church. Why? Because it works. Jesus teaches us in John's Gospel, John chapter 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And the fallen angels are thieves. They want to rip you off, right? Anybody know that? Anybody know they've been ripping us off? Well, today, you're going to have, if I can say it this way, Satan's going to be unmasked for you. That's my hope. Because we're going to find out one of his strategies, one of his tactics that he's already been using. Why would he keep using it in your life? Because it works. But you need to know it's there, and you need to not give him that power, that authority in your life. Make sense? It'll be up to you. But you're going to know truth, because God's word of truth and the Bible is going to show you. So these fallen angels, they're thieves. They want to come and steal, kill, and to destroy. They want to steal, kill, and destroy your marriage. They want to steal, kill, and destroy all of your friendships. They want to steal, kill, and destroy even in your family. They want to steal, kill, and destroy in your relationship with coworkers, with your neighbors, with all your friends, with church life, church friends. They want to do that. And so Paul's addressing that here, and they needed to know this at the church of Corinth. We need to know this here in this church in Queens. Amen? He's going to use this in every church, in every Christian's life. In fact, before you came to Christ, he was already doing that. He already kept you in bondage and fear. You come to Christ, and now he's unmasked. You see, you know where the verses are. We're going to read them today. Your eyes are now open to it, and you go, I can't believe that I was working for Satan. Anybody realize that? I came to Christ, and I had to realize that. Oh, my gosh. Big repentance. So today, we're going to say it like this, that I believe Satan's going to be unmasked. But we're not going to let him take advantage of you anymore. Amen? Okay? We're going to do this through the grace of God, through his power and strength, and what he shows us in his word of truth in the Bible. You're going to see this. So Satan has already stolen, he's already killed, he's already destroyed some of your relationships. All of us. We don't have to go around the room because we're going to be here into November by just discussing that. Like, oh yeah, oh, I forget. Grandma, this, oh yeah, my uncle. This is one of the big issues for many of us. And he wants to keep doing this in your life because it works. This is one of the big reasons why marriages suffer, why they struggle, why they divorce, why friendships get frayed and they just end, they get killed. It's because many times of this topic, this issue of unforgiveness. So it's one of his tactics that he's already been using in your life and mine. And God tells the church at Corinth, look at this in verse 11, he says to not be ignorant. Not be ignorant of Satan's devices. And then God's going to reveal something that I would just call a truth bomb. Just explodes in your head and heart. What is that? Satan's already been taking advantage of you. You need to know this. So if you get nothing out of this today, just know that Satan wants to use and has been using unforgiveness in your life, and he's already been taking advantage of you. How many of you know that? Okay? You'll know, maybe more hands will raise up later on at the end of this message. We'll see, God willing. So he's already been taking advantage of you. And many of us, we may not know that. Hopefully you'll know this today. Not because I'm saying it, but because the Bible's choice. God's showing you through his word. So your first step today is basically just be aware. At least be aware that Satan has already been destroying. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy your relationships. This is why he's been successful at it. So we're going to unmask him. Now, I'm going to take you to this verse, verse 11, lest Satan should take advantage of us. It says, for we are not ignorant of his, and the English word translated as devices. So I brought this up. I did a screen capture of my Bible study software. I wanted you to see what God's showing us. This is a Bible dictionary called Thayer's. You can go to Blue Letter Bible and see this as well. And notice I circled it here in the red for that word devices. Mental perception, thought, evil purpose, that which thinks, the mind, thoughts. So in other words, This word for devices, it indicates the mind. It's showing you that Satan has been messing with your mind. How many of you guys know that? Well, here's one of your proof texts for that. What Satan wants to do, and the fallen angels, they're going to try to attack your thought life. I'm not making this up. This actually comes from the Bible. God's telling you, God's warning you through Paul's pen to Corinth, as well as you and I here today. He's going to mess with your thought life. So right away, some of this truth bomb that's dropping, exploding hopefully in your head and heart, is to realize Satan's already been taking advantage of me, and he's messing with my mind. This is why when you come to God through Christ Jesus, you're already saved, but you're struggling through prayer. Like, but God, you know what they did? Blah, 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 blah. They stole my quarter. Whatever it is. You know, we usually obsess over something little, right? Something dumb. All of us do. And then Satan might throw, or one of these fallen angels, might throw a thought into your head. That's right. You've got rights. They don't deserve it. And then we'll obsess over that thought. You obsess over it, and then you become a mess. How many of you guys know that? Okay, you go manic. Some people, like, they freak out. And so God's telling us, hey, just forgive. We'll get into that. This is why it's such a huge issue. This is why we believe we got to stretch this out, and we're going to cover this, God willing, maybe for the next 2 weeks, so maybe three Sundays or so. So please keep coming back. We're going to do some, God willing, heart surgery today, or Jesus is going to do that. The Spirit of God is going to use the Word of God in the child of God's life. Hopefully he's going to do some heart healing, cleansing. You're going to glorify God more. You're going to be able to restore and beautify your relationships. Maybe God's going to use you to help build up, strengthen those marriages, your friendships that you have right now. Maybe to call someone up and say, you know, let's reconcile. But you and I got to know what God's saying in his Word. So this is how unforgiveness is a tool of Satan. He's going to mess with your mind. And we're unmasking him now. Because God shows you and I, this is how he's been doing it. This is what he does. And this was written to a church. So this is what happens within a church. Not just a church family. This is what happens within families. You know that. In marriages, in relationships, all of your friendships. Now again, why would Satan do this? Because it works. And we're allowing him to have that kind of power in our lives. And yet he was already defeated at the cross of Christ when Jesus said, it is finished, right? He's already defeated. We got to stop giving him that power that and that authority, which he does not have in our lives. So he's going to throw some ungodly thoughts into our heads. Thoughts that go something like this. I don't deserve that. I need my rights. You know, you didn't see what they did to me, God. I don't need to forgive. Don't you see what they did to me? How they hurt me? Or get this one. I think all of us suffer from this. I'll forgive them when they say sorry first. Okay, pride. All of us kind of suffer from that. Like some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't have an issue with forgiving as long as they say sorry first. So all of us suffer from this. You can't point a finger because then I like my wife. Where is she? Point a finger, you got a couple pointing back. So she points like this. So all of us suffer from this. But what happens if we entertain those messed up thoughts that Satan wants to plague us with, then relationships will stay broken. Marriages split apart. Church relationships even will become frayed. Hearts will become hurt. And some people, they never heal. For some of you, and I know, talking with some individuals one-on-one, these are issues that last for years. And yet it's right here in the Bible. So we want to unmask what Satan's already been doing. We don't want to give him a victory, amen? He already knows he's defeated at the cross of Christ. You're already victorious in Christ. Not in your strength, though, amen? In Christ, in Christo, you are victorious. Don't give Satan that kind of power or authority in your life. We don't want to do that. Where is Miss Andrea? Miss Andrea, you ready to come up? So Miss Andrea is going to share with you a little bit about her life, her testimony. Ready? Come on up.
Good morning, everyone. Okay, so Pastor Drew said I'm going to share a little bit about my testimony with forgiveness. I will give a little bit of a background for those of you who don't know a little bit of me. So I don't remember the first time I was a victim of child sexual abuse. I know that it was between the ages 5 and 7, and I was molested by at least 3 people who were close to our family, and one of them being a close relative. All teenagers. As I became a teenager myself, I realized that what has happened to me and began struggling with depression and self-harming thoughts and a great amount of guilt and shame. And I lived many years confused. But things started to change as I started to forgive. God helped me to forgive by allowing me to see that the sin that was done upon me was foremost a sin done against him. And on top of that, by me being hurt by that sin, I was now in sin of unforgiveness that was being harvested in my heart. Unforgiveness towards those who abused me and unforgiveness towards those who I thought should have protected me. I lived in sin and the sin of unforgiveness for decades. God allowed me to see the truth through his word that what was done upon me was wrong. I was hurt by sin. It all led me to sin against God, not only on a lack of forgiveness, but also in other areas of my life. It was affecting my ability to love the way he loves. And I couldn't have joy, and I couldn't have his peace in my heart. He showed me that that was one of the reasons why I couldn't establish a good relationship with my parents and other people, because deep inside I was still hurting and blaming them for their choices and how those choices affected me. But as I chose to forgive, God in his infinite mercy allowed me to see how broken the people who sinned against me were, just like me. It all made the whole picture clearer, still sad, but now with a ray of hope, instead of bitterness and depression and those thoughts of why did this happen to me. The hope is that God will free me from that cycle of remembering the sin, holding a grudge against the people that sinned against me, filling my heart with bitterness, feeling helpless and pain, and finally shoving it all down to the bottom of my heart, being depressed until the next time that the wound was touched. So the hope was that God will set me free from that cycle, and he has. I won't say that the pain has been completely gone. It's been a process, but I have joy and God's comfort, and I'm not alone. I'm certain that I'm not alone. My heart has been freed up space for things of God, for things of the eternity, and especially for the heart of compassion and a heart of flesh rather than a heart of stone that was growing colder and colder each day and with every new offense that would come my way. So I believe we all need to forgive because that is God's will for our lives. His will for us as he died on the cross was to set us free from sin. Then why are we holding on to the very thing he already paid for? Choose to do it. Choose to make space for you to see this in this brief time that we are on the earth. Choose to see how God made you to be as a new creation. I encourage you to choose forgiveness today. Thank you.
Great testimony. Wonderful testimony. So continue to pray for Miss Andrea. So don't hold on to those things. Each of you can have a wonderful testimony. Some of you already do. Of what God's wanting to continue to do. If you have your Bibles, you could turn there. I'm also having it on the display. But Revelation 20, again, we want to unmask the devil and why some of these things might hurt if you continue to dwell on unforgiveness and not give out forgiveness. Here's what it says in Revelation 20. Again, it's on the display. Revelation 20, verse 11, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So question, did Jesus die for angels? No, he died for people. Who did he die for? You and us, right? The whole world, we believe. Jesus died for the sins of the world. So angels nor animals get forgiveness. Jesus didn't die for them. Sorry, cat lovers. We have a hamster. Hamster lovers. Dog lovers. Jesus died for people. He didn't die for angels. Therefore, Satan and the fallen angels only know unforgiveness. What we just read here in Revelation 20, that is the future for Satan, to spend eternity in the lake of fire. The devil and the fallen angels, they only know unforgiveness. And when you receive salvation through Jesus Christ, it's like a marriage proposal, isn't it? You receive salvation, you now get put into the family of God, and now you know that in eternity, you know your destination, amen? You have hope. Your hope is heaven. Wherever Jesus is, that's where we're going to be, amen? Eternity will be that you get to have eternal life with Jesus Christ. However, if marriage is the picture that we have of salvation in eternity, the contrast is also true. The only picture of divorce in eternity or separation, so you might say in relationships, is by rejecting salvation through Jesus Christ. The person does not want to be eternally married to Jesus. Guess where they're going to go? They're not going to go to purgatory. There's only two places. Heaven, you get sent to hell, waiting for judgment day. And this, Revelation 20, is called the Great White Throne Judgment. And all those that are not written in the Lamb's book of life, Jesus is the Lamb, he's got a book of life, and those that do not have eternal salvation, they won't be married to Jesus eternally. It's as if it's a divorce, a separation. They'll be eternally separated from Jesus Christ, and they'll be placed where? The lake of fire, to burn how long? For eternity, forever and ever. No wonder why divorce burns. I grew up as a byproduct of divorce. And just, I have to clarify this. No, Susan and I, this is our first and only marriage. My mom and dad divorced when I was little. It always burns other people around us. No wonder why unforgiveness burns. It burns, doesn't it? As if God is training us, don't go there. It's like he's warning us. Forgive. Don't let it burn you. He's like giving you a taste of where he doesn't want you to go. Make sense? Is that interesting? I think it's quite interesting, quite profound. So an eternal life with Jesus Christ, the picture is marriage, but eternal life or an eternity without Jesus Christ is called the second death, not life. And it's a picture of not being with Jesus for eternity. That's a picture of divorce. With forgiveness, there's a freedom. With unforgiveness, it's bondage. It's fear, it's pain, it's agony. With forgiveness, there's a healing. With unforgiveness, it's just torture. How many of you guys know? You're torturing yourself, don't you? Listen, guys, even in the world, the psychologists and others, and that's not us, but they'll even know, hey, you'll hear things like, hey, forgive them for you. Anybody ever hear that? That's common, because they even know, even with statistics, they know, hey, if you don't forgive, you hold on to bitterness, you're going to a bondage. It's a self-torture. They just can't connect it to the other side. You're also torturing the other person, and you're also hurting your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Psychology will never tell you that. They'll just say, hey, forgive for you. So they understand that there is an oppression, there's a bondage that you go into. It's a self-made prison, isn't it? They just don't know who is actually communicating, speaking to you. It's the Holy Spirit. He's not giving you peace. He's giving you chaos. He's the comforter. He's not going to comfort you in unforgiveness. He's like, no, no, no. You got salvation through Jesus Christ. You now need to forgive others. So the comforter is not going to give you comfort. He's going to give you what? Discomfort. How many of you guys know that? And he's called the helper. He's not going to help you to sin. He's going to help you. That's why you get that release. Oh, I'm glad I forgave. So understand this. The devil and the fallen angels, all they know is unforgiveness. And they're going to use it against you. They have been using it against you. So we've got to unmask them today, so to speak. With forgiveness, there's a life. Unforgiveness is a picture of death. In fact, those that get sent to the lake of fire, it's called the second death. So those that are saved through Jesus Christ, they're in the book of life. But those that aren't saved have a second death. And we need to know this. You need to know this. You guys heard of the Our Father prayer. Any ex-Catholics here? Okay, you the Our Father prayer, right? You're bad. Go and do 5 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers. Whatever it is, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So here's what we're actually saying in what's called the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father prayer. You can turn to Matthew 6 or just read it here on the display. But in Matthew chapter 6, this is the Our Father prayer, as it's often called, or the Lord's Prayer. Technically, it really wouldn't be the Lord Jesus who would pray, because he's not going to have to ask for forgiveness, because he did no sin. Amen? So, this is Matthew chapter 6. I have it on display from verse 9 and on. Matthew chapter 6, am I saying your Bible like mine, the model prayer. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know what's neat, what's interesting, is when you read this and you start hearing it publicly, something inside you, especially ex-Catholics, they're like, they're wanting to repeat it out loud. It's kind of interesting. Our Father, no, he didn't say in King James English, who art in heaven. Okay, there we go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Check out verse 12. I color-coded it for you. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So in the Lord's Prayer, we're asking God to forgive us. Notice this. It says here, as we forgive. Let me break it down really simple for you. God, I want you to forgive me just like I forgive others. And the Father might be sitting there going, well, you never forgive. Oh, I guess I'm saying forgive me just like I forgive others. But if I'm not forgiven, if I don't forgive people, I'm saying don't forgive me. Isn't that interesting? So when you just repeat it like a mantra, which Jesus never intended this to be, it's more of a model to pray, the principles of prayer. It's not a mantra. When you just repeat it robotically, like routine, you don't even know what you're saying. How many of you guys, you grew up, you could repeat this. You're like half awake in the shower. You could repeat it. But do you even check out what you're saying? What you're saying is, forgive me just like I forgive others. So the question is, do we forgive? And then, without skipping a beat, did you ever notice the very next words after the Our Father prayer? Verse 14, for, I even color-coded this, and God's showing you and I, out of all the principles in the Our Father prayer, what's the one that he's picking out that he knows is going to be a human problem for you and me? Forgiveness. Verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, verse 15, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. He's just illustrating, elaborating upon verse 12. So right after the prayer, Jesus is basically saying, hey, if you forgive others, the Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you're not forgiving, if you're unforgiving, then you should expect that the Father won't forgive you as well. Do you know that unforgiveness kills your prayer life? You need to know that, because sometimes we come to God and like, this person's always asking for the same prayer. What's going on? Maybe it's a heart issue. God, help my relationships. Heal my relationships. And maybe that person's asking for God to do the work there, but God's trying to do work here. Does that make sense? And then I'm just going, man, I don't know what's happening. You're not answering my prayers. I'm not hearing from you. You're destroying my life, God. And God's saying, no, I'm not. You've been forgiven. You must forgive. It's not conditional. Well, if they say sorry first. Well, if he gives me back that $1,000 he borrowed. Does God do those conditions with you? You just come to the Father through Jesus Christ. So let me, if anybody here likes math, anybody like math? Some of you do. Think about this. Weigh this out. Of all the thousands and thousands and thousands of sins, anything short of perfection is a sin. All the thousands of sins that God has forgiven you, can you forgive that person that one sin? You need to. You must. If not, God's going to show you, I'm going to destroy your prayer life. Why? Because, yes, he loves you. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Yes, he's a Father of mercies. He had mercy on you. Yes, he's a God of all comfort. He wants to comfort you. That's step one. Step two, he wants to comfort others through you. And I'm hoping he'll do that today. All right, let's continue on, just of respect to time. Going further in Matthew's gospel, here's what it says in Matthew 18. Jesus is going to give you and I an illustration of forgiveness versus unforgiveness. This one's great. Please don't miss this. Verse 23, it's on the display here. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. A whole bunch of money, let's just say. Okay. Verse 25, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold. Listen to that. Go sell that guy. Like, his stuff? No, go sell him. Like, we miss that many times. With his wife and children. Wait a second. Not just his stuff, not just his house, his car, not just whatever finances he has in his bank. Him, his wife and children, sell them. And all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Remember how God says that he's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort? This person, guess who this person is in the illustration, by the way? You, us, good. This is you and I asking God for mercy. Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion. Compassion is synonymous with mercy. Released him and forgave him the debt. Wait a second, he didn't have to pay back? Verse 28, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. A denarius is one day's wages. Like, think of how much money you can make in one day. And then stretch it out 100 days. Okay, a little bit he owed compared to the lot that he could not, it was impossible to pay back. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat saying, pay me what you owe. And finishing up the story, this illustration, verse 29 and on. By the way, this is the last slide I have. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. Notice he says the same thing, doesn't he? The same thing. Also begging and asking for mercy. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. I don't know about you. I'll just speak of myself as I insert myself into this story, because it's a teaching truth to tell you this truth is heavenly truth, that you are the servant that owed the king. And if I insert myself here, like, God, I can make you angry. Papa in heaven, you can be mad at me. Oh, come on, there's grace through Jesus Christ. Yes, I have mercy on you. because you couldn't pay the debt of sin. It's impossible for you to pay the debt for one sin. Now imagine that Jesus Christ paid for thousands and thousands and thousands of your sins. And you cry out to him for mercy. Oh, have mercy. I'll give you mercy through Jesus Christ. And he sent his son, his only son. Many of us here are parents. And some of you might go, yeah, you know that one kid, that knucklehead kid. No, you would not want to send your child over to die for someone else. You couldn't, in fact. But that's the Heavenly Father. That's his grace. That's his love. That's his character for you. He had mercy on you. He knew you could not pay back. And so he sent someone that would pay your debt. All done. All free for you. Amen? So salvation is free, but it costs Jesus everything. So you and I, we're the servant who owed the king, and it's an impossible amount for you and I to pay, because you cannot pay for your sin. The whole Bible teaches us that. You can't work for your sin. There's nothing you could pay or pray to get rid of your sin. You cannot get rid of your sin. So as servants, we're begging the king for mercy. Then the master has to have compassion on you and me. He frees us. And he forgave all your sins. So now, as Christians, if you want to be a follower of Christ, even with that term Christian, you want to follow Christ? Who here wants to follow Christ? Awesome. I like that little girl. She's, that's awesome one. Great. Yeah, you. That's nomination. Volunteers when you raise your own hand. We're together to become one. Amen. So if we want to follow Christ, we want to be Christian, even with the term, want to be a follower of Christ, he forgave you. What must you do with others? Come on, you guys are... When it's time, I'm going to forgive. What does God want you to do?
Forgive.
Oh, that's better. One more time. What does God want you to do?
Forgive.
Forgive. All right. Sounds like a rally. Yeah. You got to forgive. This is good. So as Christians, you and I need to be a reflection of God. This is why he puts problem people in your life. And that problem person might be me. It might be someone else in this room. It might be someone that's your neighbor, your coworker, your friend. He wants to test you. But also for that person, those people that say, I don't believe God exists because I can't see him. And now in your relationship with that person, where you need to forgive, you have to be a recipient but a conduit of this heavenly principle of forgiveness. Now you get to be a recipient of the grace of God, but also someone that could be a conduit. So someone that says, I don't believe God exists. Yeah, you talk about his grace, his love. So now you get to be one that displays the grace of God in the world. Amen? Shine like a bright light. That as others see you as not just a grace recipient, but a grace conduit, they'll say, I know God exists because I can see his grace through you. That's really what Christianity is supposed to be. We can gather in a room, but you're equipped here. And when you leave this place, we want you to be like a missionary. Amen. You go out to the highways and byways, wherever you go around the world, that you can shine the light of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean just standing and reading a Bible. That means in your relationships, people need to see God at work through your life. As Paul writes, Christ in you, the hope of glory. They want to see that Jesus is still alive through you. Amen? Through his follower. So we're going to set up at this time. Can we set up to, there we are, thank you. Can we set up to close with a song for worship? Just know, though, that maybe you're here, maybe you need prayer, like the first service, or the Spanish service. We just asked people that want prayer. We had a ton of folks come up. It was a glorious time. Maybe it's the same thing here. All I could do, like Peter, Jesus told Peter, follow me and I'll make you what? Fishermen. All I could do is cast a net. You never know what you're going to catch. So I believe God brought you here today. Look, he's packed us out. Praise God. But this becomes one of the issues, right? Top five, we had someone say in the Spanish service. For many of us, though, this is the issue. God, I'm really having a tough time forgiving. move over here. Maybe it's, God, I know you forgave me. Oh, help me. Give me the grace. Give me the strength. Give me the supernatural power to forgive others. Listen, all of us have issues with this. All of us. I'm not going to kid you. Me too. I know that there is nothing that is good within me, nor you. Amen? It's only Christ in you. Only God's work within you. He changes and transforms you from the inside out. So today, Satan's been unmasked. He's been unveiled. You now know one of the tactics he's been using in your life. He's already been taking advantage of you. Don't let him. And if you want prayer for this, that you would be not just a forgiven person, but a forgiver, that God could set you free maybe today. We want to love you. We want to pray for you. Please all stand. Let's all stand. So maybe you're here today and you need prayer. Maybe it's that you receive God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ. We could pray for you for salvation. You're a sinner. Christ Jesus died on the cross as your Savior for your sins. He's buried, resurrected according to the Scriptures, ascended into heaven. He still lives forevermore. He lives right now here today through his followers. Amen. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe you want prayer that you would have his power to turn away from being unforgiving, and you want to follow Christ who's a forgiver. We could pray for you. And that through Jesus Christ, you'll be able to forgive that person who hurt you. As you remember, oh Lord, you forgave me. I don't know how many thousands. You don't even keep track. You just look at me, Father, I'm in Christ now, and you see your son. He's holy. He's pure. He's righteous. And those things are attributed to you through Christ. And yet you and I are still struggling in these bodies of flesh that want to sin. These prideful hearts that don't want to give in and be humble. Give in to the Lord. Allow him to do his holy work through you. So just like you were forgiven your thousands of sins, you and I must be able to forgive the person who did that one sin. Can you do that? Yeah, you can, but not through your strength. You need to be a forgiver through the strength, the power that God gives you. Amen? All right, I'm going to close in prayer. And if you want prayer for that, I'm going to simply ask you to come forward. We're going to continue to worship here. And let's just go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your holy word. As we go through this issue of forgiveness versus unforgiveness, oh Lord, we thank you for salvation through Jesus. All of us confess that we're sinners. We want to turn away and repent from those sins. Now you've given us a new life, a new beginning, a new family. Everything's new. And you're teaching us through your word of truth that you want us to follow you. You want us to be more like you. You want us to mimic your ways. But yet this is not our character or nature. It comes from you. So we need your grace. We need your help. We need your strength. We know that you say that we're in Christ. But Lord, we need your empowerment. So Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we ask, can you send the Holy Spirit? We need your supernatural power. We need your grace. We need your strength. We know that you're convicting us. I believe you're convicting many hearts here that we need to simply not just receive your forgiveness through Christ Jesus and his blood that was shed on the cross, but we need to also forgive others. Help us to be known as people that forgive, people that dish out grace. But we need to do that with your strength. Would you please do that heart healing, that heart surgery here today? Help us, God. If we came in one way, that we could leave just healed, renewed, rejuvenated through your grace, by the strength and power of your Spirit. Help us today. For we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.